It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas, city to city, state to state, coast to coast. Interviews, news reports, breaking news, and the return of outside-the-box non-sports related. So tune in to your favorite host and conductor of the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, Anthony Smith. Hope you are enjoying your long extended weekend. So much has happened over the weekend. A lot of football. And there's going to be some football even on a Monday. Yeah, that's right. I'm doing this on a Monday, Labor Day. Hope you are enjoying yourself. Hope you're enjoying that extra day off work. And no, this is not work for me. This is called fun. Getting you on the A-Train to enjoy the ride of your life. So what's on tap today? Well, you know, I always do the high school recap, but also got a lot of college action. Not only was high school football played over on Friday night, and some games started Thursday as well too, but man, it was a plethora of Friday night football, high school, college. Then it ramped up Saturday for the college game. Even saw some junior college football. Yeah, I went ahead and kind of upgraded some of my plans as far as my free TV is concerned, like on the Hulu. So I was able to get ESPN Plus. So there was a plethora of games that some of you probably didn't see. There was some HBCU games on. And I mean, it was just football, 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 football. And then for you WWE fans, you also had Payback. I had to throw that in there because I know there are some people that listen that actually look at that. I tune in from time to time just to see the theatrics and the storylines. I mean, tell me, you wrestling fans out there, y'all were on the edge of y'all seats for the Bloodline. Yes, you were. Anyway, we're talking football. And I always give you the scores from games. And I want to start, normally I go to Catch It Kansas, but since I have so much, this will be a condensed version pretty much. But looking at scores, because the season started, in essence, really Thursday night. Now, Dodge City, games right here in the City League area, or we know it as the Greater Wichita Athletic League. Dodge City, it was triumphant over Wichita West by the score of 13-8. Cape and Mount Carmel, who actually got their season started on Thursday, put the whole city on notice and probably all of 5A on notice with their resounding victory over Wichita South by a final score of 72-14. Washburn Rural eked by Wichita East. And I have a story on Wichita East, as a matter of fact, one of their players. So after I give you these scores, or maybe after I run down all the scores, I will give you a rundown on that story on Deontay Mitchell, to be exact. So, yes, like I say, when I tell you I have a lot to get to today, I have a lot, but it will be well worth it. So, this might be one of those two-hour podcasts. We'll see. But again, Washburn Rural squeaked past Wichita East by a score of 26-25. So Wichita East went to Washburn, actually, I do believe, and they went to play, and they went to win. They came up short. Wichita Heights squeaked out a one-point victory over Garden City by a score of 20-19. In the battle for the West Side, Wichita Northwest versus Bishop Carroll, it wasn't even close. Final score, Northwest 59, Bishop Carroll 7. Wichita Southeast got off to a good start by blanking Wichita North. Looked like it's going to be another long season for North. Wichita Southeast comes out on top by the score of 48-0. Now we look at the AVCTL as Andale keeps that unbeaten streak alive. I believe it's now 52 straight games. They knock off Wellington by the score of 75-28. Andover Central gets by Bueller 20-14. Chanute, a little town I'm kind of somewhat familiar with, beats Augusta, doubles them up by the score of 42-21. Clearwater has no problem handling El Dorado by the score of 33-6. Collegiate pitches the shutout against Rose Hill by the score of 35-0. In a defensive battle, Goddard Eisenhower holds Hutch to 3 points, beating them 7-3. Goddard, on the other hand, that's the team that's on the other side of Goddard, boat races Campus 46-8. Great Bend cruises past McPherson by the score of 29-16. Mays blanks Topeka 43-0. So look like Mays is still in good hands. Mays South, not to be outdone, they pretty much doubled up Andover by the score of 48-27. Derby Haynes, a season opening loss on, Manhattan hangs a season opening loss on Derby by the score of 33-19. You kind of wonder if Derby might be missing Dylan Edwards. More on that later. Mulvane squeaks past Coffeyville by 3 by the score of 28-25. Valley Center beats Newton 20-6. Winfield gets past Arc City 21-13. Now looking at the Central Plains League, Belle Plaine 32, Douglas 8, Cheney 34, Kingman 7. Garden Plain start their season on Thursday, getting past Conway Springs by the score of 20-14. Pretty sure that game was packed out. Medicine Lodge gets past Chaparral 20-6. Wichita Trinity gets by Sacred Heart by 10, 36-26. Now let's take a look at the Central Kansas League. Halstead cruises past Smoky Valley, 47-8. Hillsboro, 40. Haven, 38. Nailbiter. Hoisington cruises past Heston, 39-6. And in a low-scoring affair, Nickerson blanks Lions by the score of 6-0. Pratt cruises past Larned, 48-12. Now looking at the Heart of America. Marion 46, Inman 22, Moundridge 32, El Saline 6. Cedric beats Hutchinson Trinity. That game was on Thursday by the score 42-7. Sterling, not to be confused with the college, it's the high school. Sterling 46, Remington 6. In other 11 man, Cherryville gets past Eureka 12-8. Neodache blanks Bluestem 41-0. And I also have some 8-man scores for you as Argonia Attica 48 blanks Norwich by the score 48-0. Bennington gets by Gossel 30-22. And trust me, when you see a 30-22 score game in a 8-man game, that's actually considered a low scoring game. Burton Central cruises past Sedan 62-6. Hutchinson Central Christian cruises past Pretty Prairie, 44-6. Little River beats Kenton Galva, squeaks past them by the score of 42-40. Oxford blanks Flint Hills, 46-0. South Sumner County blanks Cedarvale Dexter, 50-0. Tescott cruises past Peabody Burns, 45-26. Sunrise Christian gets the win on Thursday over Flint Hills Christian by the score of 27-6. West Elk, a known commodity in 8-man, cruises past Udall 70-8. And we have some scores for 6-man as well, too. Ashland 32, Cunningham 22. 32-22 over Cunningham. And Century cruises past Burton 74-27. So those are the scores I have for you from the high schools this past Friday as high school ramped up into full gear. Like I say, next week I will have the full list of scores, possibly some coaching interviews. But there is an article that I would like to bring to your attention that was prior to the season. It's courtesy of Vibe magazine. Deontay Mitchell, Wichita East High School, the athlete spotlight. And this is also presented by Kaufman Insurance Agency. No, they are not a sponsor of my podcast, but it's just ethical to give credit to whom credit is due. And the contributing writer of this story was Matt Browning from Vibe Kansas magazine. Said it's difficult to imagine Wichita East quarterback Deontay Mitchell having a much better season than the one he had in 2022, where he had 34 total touchdowns and more than 3,000 total yards. But with all the weapons the Blue Aces bring back this season and the marked improvement Mitchell is counting on, this season could be truly special for the senior. Last year, East went 6-4 and defeated Lawrence Free State 34-0 in the playoffs, with victories over Cape and Mount Carmel and close losses to Washburn Rural and Bishop Carroll along the way. Says, I'm most excited about how our team is going to perform on Fridays, Mitchell said. We mostly have a lot of players coming back and our chemistry gets better and better. Mitchell is already East all-time passing yards leader at over 4,500 yards, and he has bigger plans for records and team accomplishments this year. He says, individually, I want to lead my team to state and break records, Mitchell said. Team-wise, I want us to play good against good and bad teams and be disciplined. The hard work in the offseason, Mitchell, is what he hopes leads to all these goals being accomplished. To say the least, he has been grinding. He says, I've been going to camps, team workouts, and film sessions already, Mitchell said. And then I train mostly two-a-days. So there you have player spotlight on Deontay Mitchell of Wichita East High. So tell you what I'm going to do right there, right here. I am going to take a break. And when I come back, I have so much more for you. So don't you dare go nowhere. The train is just now building up some steam. Hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, Anthony Smith.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P Seed and Babe, is fully stocked for all your pet needs. We carry Victor, Bully Max, Diamond Value Pack, and many more brands. In addition, we carry collars, chains, and any pet supplies you may need, including grooming supplies and dog shots. Make sure to like us on social media.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host, your conductor, your all-everything guy, just doing the darn thing. Play my darn theme music. Anyway, I can tell you there is a lot going on. A lot of football. Can't you just feel the excitement in the air? The football gods is just raining down on us. We even have football tonight. That's right. I am here in the ICT, the 316, the Dub K. Well, all my life, I've just been simply calling it, I'm in Wichita, Kansas. I'll let y'all figure out all those other names. Anyway, got some college football action to get to. But there is some stories of interest first, as around here in the state of Kansas, there's an article. Contributing writer, Kellis Robinette. Golden Boy, freshman QB Avery Johnson dazzles in his first game. So Will Howard did something you rarely see from a quarterback after he put the finishing touches on a record-setting performance during Kansas State's dominant 45-0 victory over Southeast Missouri State on Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. He shined a proverbial spotlight on his backup. As reporters gathered around Howard and prepared to ask him questions about how he threw 297 yards and became the first player in modern K-State history to score touchdowns via passing, rushing, and receiving in the same game, he told them to leave and go chat with Avery Johnson. He said, "Go talk to him," Howard said as he pointed in his teammate's direction. "He's the man of the hour." Believe it or not, there wasn't much hyperbole in that statement, even on a day when Howard scored 4 touchdowns and played like an all-Big 12 quarterback. Many K-State fans left the stadium talking more about what they saw from Avery Johnson in his college debut. Johnson, a highly touted recruit from Mays, looked like much more than a backup quarterback than when he led the offense for multiple drives in the second half. He looked like a future star. It was easy to see why coaches and teammates have done nothing but rave about Johnson since he stepped foot on campus and began making plays with both his impressive speed and strong arm. He completed 3 or 4 passes for 55 yards, including a long of 24. He also rushed for 35 yards and a touchdown on 5 carries. More than that, it seemed like he was moving at a faster speed than anyone else on the field. He was under control, and he was in command, K-State coach Chris Kleiman said. "He's really, really fast. And I think you guys can tell that he's got great, great speed. I thought he put the ball in a couple of really good spots today, and I thought he did some really good things." K-State fans were anything but surprised. They were looking forward to his first pass so much that the stadium responded with a thunderous ovation when he entered the game with the Wildcats leading 38-0. "We call Avery the Golden Boy of Kansas State," now K-State receiver R.J. Garcia said. "Just to hear the crowd chant his name was awesome. He got to run around and get in the end zone. I was definitely excited for him, especially when he got to spin it to Jace Brown and Trey Spivey, who are a couple of other young guys. It was a cool moment." Johnson called it one of the best moments I've had playing football, but admitted he wasn't prepared for quite that much hoopla. "I'm not really a big nervous type of guy, but I will say I had butterflies," Johnson said. "But I don't feel like it was just nervousness. I just got excited to play football." But the older guys around, like center Hayden Gilliam, were just telling me to relax and have fun and just play football. That's what I tried to go out there and do. For most of training camp, it seemed like Jake Rubley, not Johnson, would serve as the backup quarterback behind Howard. Rubley is older and a talented player in his own right. But Johnson played so well during preseason practices that offensive coordinator Colin Klein talked Kleiman into elevating him up the depth chart. "His speed, which has been tracked as fast as 22.3 miles per hour, is something few other quarterbacks can match. Like a child with a new toy, K-State coaches want to use him," We want to give Avery some solid series where he could evaluate him, Kleiman said, and give him an opportunity to run the offense where it wasn't just a drive. We wanted where it was going to be a handful of drives. Johnson took advantage by leading K-State on a 79-yard touchdown drive and then moving the Wildcats into the red zone before they turned the ball over on downs. Good things happen when he was on the field. So good, in fact, that he stole some thunder away from Howard on his big night. So there you have the reviews coming in from one Avery Johnson, freshman from right up the street in Mays High School. And as you heard earlier in my first segment, that Mays High School, well, they haven't missed a beat as they picked up their victory, their opening season victory. So congrats to Mays, and also congrats to Avery Johnson on his playing time and getting some of his shine on. Speaking of which, he wasn't the only area freshman to put up some gaudy numbers. I mean, what can we say about the performance of one Dylan Edwards? Yes, we're going to talk about him too, because he's from around this area. As a matter of fact, I can say I know his family. I know his grandfather. I know his dad. I know his auntie. Those of you who had a chance to see the Colorado TCU game, I will just say it like this. What you've seen in Dylan Edwards, those of you who know his dad, Leon, you're basically seeing a carbon copy. So I am going to talk about CU Buffs freshman Dylan Edwards has electric debut with 4 touchdowns in the win over number 17 TCU. This is from the Denver Gazette, contributing writer Taylor King. Dylan Edwards must think this college football thing is pretty easy. In a perfect collegiate debut for the true freshman, Edwards led Colorado with 177 all-purpose yards, breaking multiple school records and scoring the game-winning touchdown in the Buffaloes' 45-42 win over number 17 TCU. He was one of 4 players with over 100 receiving yards. Can I say that again? He was one of 4 players with over 100 receiving yards in the game, with his game-high 135 shattering the CU record for receiving yards in the game by a running back. Edwards' 3 receiving touchdowns in the game was not only the most by any Buffs running back in program history, but it was just the 6th time that any CU player caught that many touchdowns in a single game. But if you ask the guy who coached him in youth football and is now coaching him again with the Buffs, this wasn't much of a surprise. Dylan Edwards is phenomenal. I've been saying that since he was 4 years old, Deion Sanders said. Don't let the size fool you. Dylan is a dog. With Houston transfer out to McCaskill not able to go as the Buffs continue to ease him back from the serious knee injury that he suffered a year ago, the team was in need of a spark plug out of the backfield. Enter Edwards, who became the first true freshman running back to start the season opener at CU in 32 years. Just like he did for 4 years at Derby High School just outside Wichita, Kansas, the 5'9" running back ran circles around the defense. His first 4 touchdowns was an easy one. Some miscommunication by the Horned Frogs allowed him to get wide open in the end zone and for an easy pitch and catch with Shadur Sanders on CU's opening drive of the game. Edwards' second was one of the best highlights from the day. On just the second play, the second half, Edwards received a screen pass, made quick cut back to the inside to set up some key blocks before dashing downfield, making a few defenders miss and leaving a few more in the dust. They call this kid Everyday Dylan Edwards for a reason. Hashtag CU Buffs. I knew I could make plays out there, Edwards said. We prepared well. When I got the ball, I was just doing my thing, pretty much just reading my blocks and trying to get into the end zone. On the CU sideline, even though Edwards had just given the Buffs a 10-point lead just seconds into the half, there wasn't much of a reaction. They saw that play more than a handful of times in fall camp. We see that in practice all the time, Coach Prime said. So much so that Edwards has already been given the nickname Everyday for just how often he makes the big plays in practice. Since he arrived on campus in the spring, everyone has been raving about Edwards' potential. That continued in fall camp when Edwards forced his way into a big role in the offense, making everyone feel like they had a star in the making on their hands. Now the entire nation can feel it too. We just can't wait to do it again, Edwards said. Shedeur Sanders earns National Player of the Week honor. Shedeur Sanders' record-setting CU Buffs debut has captivated the nation. The junior threw for 510 yards and 4 touchdowns in his FBS debut and was named Walter Camp National Player of the Week for his performance. The Walter Camp Player of the Year Award is given annually. Sanders broke nearly 10 program records in his FBS debut, including passing yards in a game, best completion percentage with a minimum of 30 attempts, and most yards of total offense in a CU debut. So hats off to our area players, which is Avery Johnson, Kansas State, Dylan Edwards at Colorado, Derby. What a weekend it was of college football. When I come back, I want to look at the college rankings, which some people will say it doesn't make no sense for college rankings, but I'm going to look at them anyway because there's been some shakeups in the college rankings. And we're also going to hear Deion Sanders' press conference in its entirety, or at least the 12-minute clip that I have for you. So stay on the train. I know some of you probably won't like the Deion Sanders press conference, but hey, you know Deion. Deion is Deion. Deion wouldn't be Deion if he wasn't being Deion. Am I right? All right. He was confident in his college days, confident in his pro days, and confident in his coaching days. So we're going to listen to that. I won't be saying nothing. I'll just bring you into the interview when that time comes. But I am going to come back with the college football rankings, and then shortly after that, Deion Sanders press conference. So please stay seated until the ride is done on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. On a Labor Day Monday, where we pretty much bring you up to speed on everything that took place on the gridiron. We call it American football. Hope you enjoyed the last segment, because I kind of shined the spotlight on a couple of area local guys that have gotten their shine on at the next level. One being Avery Johnson out of Mays, who's now at Kansas State. The other one being Dylan Edwards, who played just literally up the road in Derby, who's now at Colorado. It's 4-touchdown performance. So as I promised, y'all was going to come back with what are the newly released rankings. But I also want to share this story with you by R.J. Young from Fox Sports. So the college football rankings, Colorado moves up after big win. And, of course, Georgia remains number one. In the words of the infamous Ric Flair, to be the man, you have to beat the man. In this case, to be the team, you have to beat the team. So many will tell you they always believed Coach Prime could be great at Colorado. But show me one who had them ranked in their preseason poll. I dare say you can't. I dare say not everyone paid attention to just how Prime was building his roster and his staff since December of last year, the same month when I made Shedeur Sanders my number one contender for the Heisman. Once again, these are the words of the writer R.J. Young, so I want to put that out there. It says, not everyone interviewed him, as I had on Fox Sports, number one college football show, when he was in the midst of a 27-6 run at HBCU Jackson State. And not everyone rang the bell when Travis Hunter spurned Florida State to become the first five-star player to sign with an FCS program. I did. So, they're here now for a second week among the 25 best teams in the country. And if AP voters have integrity, they'll also be ranked there for the first time since December 2020. For now, consider me validated and consider this column informed and credible, even though there are many who would tell you otherwise. And when they do, ask them if they pick Colorado to beat Texas Christian. He goes on to say, I went 6-0 picking college football games this week, undefeated, just like Prime. Yep, we got Prime the coach, we now have Prime the writer. So here's a look at the rankings now. Number one, Georgia, 1-0, defeated UT Martin 48-7. UGA quarterback Carson Beck completed 21 of 31 passes for 294 yards and a TD in his 2023 debut. The Dogs' defense didn't surrender a point to their FCS opponent until there was 6:57 left to play in the game. Number two, Michigan, 1-0, defeated East Carolina 30-3 without Coach Jim Harbaugh or offensive coordinator Sherrone Moore. The Wolverines made relatively light work of the American Athletic Conference foe. Quarterback J.J. McCarthy completed 26 of 30 passes with 3 TDs in the win. As a matter of fact, J.J. McCarthy, I think they said, was seen running around with a shirt on during pregame talking about free Coach Harbaugh. Just want to throw that side note in there. Number three, Ohio State defeated Indiana 23-3. The Buckeyes defense held Indiana scoreless in the second half and didn't allow a TD. While the offense looked rough against the Hoosiers, defensive coordinator Jim Knowles' defense looking sharp is a reason for the Buckeyes faithful to be positive. Number four, USC, 2-0, defeated Nevada 66-14. Caleb Williams continues to play at a Heisman level. He completed 18 of 24 passes for 319 yards with 5 TD passes to move the Trojans past the Wolfpack. Number 5, Penn State, 1-0, defeated West Virginia 38-15. After heading into the locker room up just 14-7 at halftime, the Nittany Lions scored 24 points in the second half behind the accuracy of quarterback Drew Allar. Allar completed 21 of 29 passes for 325 yards with 3 passing TDs in the win. Number 6, Alabama, defeated Middle Tennessee 56-7. Crimson Tide quarterback Jalen Milroe validated Coach Nick Saban's decision to start him by leading Alabama in both passing, 194 yards, and rushing, 48 yards, with 5 total TDs as the Tide rolled toward a top 25 showdown with Texas in week 2. Number 7, Tennessee, 1-0, defeated Virginia 49-13. Quarterback Joe Milton completed 70% of his passes for 201 yards. Running back Jalen Wright added 115 yards on just 12 rushes. Number 8, Clemson didn't play. They played Duke on Monday night. Number 9, Utah 1-0, defeated Florida 24-11. Without star quarterback Cam Rising in the lineup, the Utes played complimentary football to avenge last year's loss to the Gators and comfortably pick up a coveted win against an SEC foe. Money Parks caught the only TD pass of the game for the Utes, a 70-yard toss from quarterback Bryson Barnes, who finished 12 of 18 for 159 yards, and that TD and an interception. Number 10, Florida State 1-0 defeated LSU 45-24. Ooh, is Florida State back? And does LSU have some work to do? All the hype surrounding LSU, could they dethrone Alabama, and could they make a run for the Final Four? Well, they about got doubled up. Look here. So Keon Coleman did more for basketball players who think they can play football than any man living. He's going to get some power forwards knocked unconscious because they saw Coleman out Che Jim Jones balling, whatever that is. Number 11, Washington 1-0 defeated Boise State 56-19. Quarterback Michael Penix Jr. continues to be one of the most prolific passers in the sport. He completed 29 of 40 passes for 450 yards and 5 passing TDs in the win against BSU. Number 12, Texas, 1-0, defeated Rice 37-10. The Texas defense allowed just 176 yards against a Rice team that went bowling last year. The Longhorns will feel confident about their chances to defeat Alabama this weekend after holding Rice to just 27 rush yards and forcing 3 turnovers in the win. Number 13, Oregon, 1-0, defeated Portland State. Ooh, ouch. This is going to hurt just saying the score. 81-7. 8 Ducks scored at least 1 TD, and 5 scored at least 2 in a game that saw the most points produced by one team all weekend. And, of course, we gave you the deal on LSU at the 14th-ranked team, 0-1, lost to Florida State. Jalen Daniels and the LSU front seven are the strength of the defending SEC West champs, but without significant help in the secondary and at least one more playmaker in the backfield, LSU might have a rough time getting back to the SEC title game. Number 15, Notre Dame, 2-0, defeated Eddie George and his Tennessee State team from an HBCU school by the score of 56-3. The game was close at 0-0 and at 7-3. And after that, it wasn't much of a game. The Fighting Irish have allowed just 5 points through two games and are averaging 49 a game with their first matchup against a Power 5 foe, North Carolina State, on Saturday. UCLA number 16, 1-0, defeated Coastal Carolina 27-13. True freshman quarterback Dante Moore came off the bench to complete 7 of 12 passes for 143 yards and two TDs to lead the Bruins past the chance. Number 17, Kansas State defeated Southeast Missouri State 45-0. Wildcats unleashed quarterback Will Howard, who completed 18 of 25 passes for 297 yards and a TD and an interception. But K-State will feel better about being one of just two ranked programs to pitch shutouts in week one. Not to mention, in my earlier segment, they're also raving about their freshman, Avery Johnson. Number 18, Wisconsin, kicking off the Luke Fickell era, 1-0, defeated Buffalo, a school where KU's current coach, Lance Leipold, is from. They defeated Buffalo 38-17. The debut of the Derry Red led to more of the same at Wisconsin. Running backs Chez Malusi and Braylon Allen combined for 298 rush yards and 30 rushes with four TDs. Number 19, are you ready for this? Number 19, are you ready for it? We coming. No, we here. Number 19, Colorado 1-0, defeated TCU 45-42. The Buffaloes won their first true road opener since 1995. Behind a school record 510 yards passing performance from Shadur Sanders and the first 100-yard receiving interception performance this century from Travis Hunter. The Buffaloes became the first program to beat a ranked foe in 2023. Number 20, Oklahoma, 1-0, defeated Arkansas State 73-0. The Sooners gave up an average of 30 points per game last season. To hold a proud program like the Red Wolves to zero could be a harbinger of the kind of shutdown defense associated with Coach Brett Venables in the past. Number 21, North Carolina, defeated South Carolina 31-17. Quarterback Drake May completed 24 of 32 passes for 269 yards with two TDs and two interceptions to help Coach Mack Brown become the first coach in history of the sport to win 100 games at two different schools. Number 22, Oregon State 1-0, defeated San Jose State 42-17. The arrival of DJ Ugalele was just what Beaver fans hoped it would be. He completed 20 of 25 passes for 239 yards and accounted for five TDs. Number 23, Tulane defeated South Alabama 37-17. Quarterback Michael Pratt completed 14 of 15 passes for 294 yards and four TDs. Green Wave have won 13 of their last 15 games. Number 24, TCU, 0-1. Let me say that again. Number 24, TCU, 21-point favorites, 0-1. Lost to Colorado, 45-42. Quarterback Chandler Morris completed 24 of 42 passes for 279 yards with two TDs and two interceptions, while running back Imani Bailey rushed for 164 yards on just 14 rushes in the loss. And number 25, Iowa, 1-0, defeated Utah State 24-14. The Hawkeyes scored a TD on their first offensive possession of the season, the first time that's happened since 1991. Quarterback Chad McNamara completed 17 of 30 passes for 191 yards with two TDs. Once again, contributing writer on this is R.J. Young, who is a national college football writer and analyst for Fox Sports and the host of the podcast, the number one college football show. You can follow him also on Twitter at RJ_Young and subscribe to RJ Young Show on YouTube. Trust me, I'm going to be locked in with this brother. Well, tell you what, I am going to take a break. And when I come back, we're going to hear that Deion Sanders press conference as promised. So don't you go nowhere. The train is building up ahead of steam. The A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host, Anthony Smith. Haircut? Do like me. Go to Midtown Barbershop, located at 256 North Topeka. We have two seasoned barbers on staff, Tony and Malcolm. Once again, that's Midtown Barbershop, located at 256 North Topeka. Bald haircuts, fades, beard trims, grooming, you name it. You may go in looking like $5, but by the time they get through, you'll leave out looking like brand new money. Simply priceless. That's at Midtown Barbershop with Tony and Malcolm. Tell them A-Train sent you. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. It's time for us all to grow together. So, if you would like to have your ad ran on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, simply reach out to me at a.trainsportstalk@gmail.com or at 316-553-2010. Or, if you would like to sponsor a segment, you can also reach me at a.trainsportstalk@gmail.com or 316-553-2010. So let's grow together. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast.
Wonderful game, wonderful beginning, intriguing, passionate, purposeful. It was all of that. We had some guys that singled themselves out with their playing and their playing ability. A lot of guys you doubted. One of them from HBCU. I think he had 510 yards passing in a Power 5 football game. And he happened to be my son, and I'm proud of him tremendously. Defensively, we had some letdowns, but the guys came and made the plays when they needed. I think we broke a record. Everything we do seems like a record. Four receivers with 100 yards. We didn't run the ball greatly, but we threw the heck out of the football. Savion, another back, played a great game. All the guys contributed, Dylan as well as Hankerson. The line did their thing, fought their butts off. We got to fix some things on defense, especially special teams, because I think we gave up three or four turnovers. We gave up the kickoff. We had a fumble. A couple other things happened in the first half. But hats off to the opposing team, their coach greatly. I believe their head coach, I love him to life, what he did, turning the program around at SMU as well as here last year. Good man. I had a moment with him in the middle of the field when one of the guys were injured, just to let him know how much I appreciate him, how much I respect him for what he's accomplished, and I really look up to him. He's a good man, and his team was well coached today. Let's have some questions so I can go back and enjoy myself with my kids.
Brian, go ahead. There's no mic. Coach, how much fun was today for you just to see all the hard work come and you guys produce a victory in that first game?
Well, it was I'm not going to say it was fun. It was satisfying in the end. You got to understand, time the second ticks off the clock, I'm ready for next. Like I'm thinking, okay, we got to fix this, fix that, because we got to be much more dominant next week in all phases, not just one phase, but offensively, defensively, special teams. Offense, we did it. Defense, we got to fix some things. And special teams were horrendous. We got a kick block, as well as Durner gave up a touchdown. That was horrendous.
All right, I'll go ahead.
How you doing, sweetheart? For real? Shador Sanders from my HBCU?
Absolutely.
The one that played at Jackson last year?
The
one that you asked me, why would I give him the starting job? But like that, no, not you. I got receipts. I know who they are. Not you, baby. I just got to say it. I would never do that. Wow. Well, he and Shiloh just came when I was on the training room getting my foot worked on. He and Shiloh just came, and of course Junior was filming it, so we had a dad moment. They were really happy, elated. Shiloh came in there being apologetic because he know the couple tackles he missed, I'm on his butt right now. But he said he had 10 tackles, and I checked the stats, and I think he did. So, but I was just dad in there moments ago, and I'm proud of both of them, really. I really am. And Junior, because his work shows. His work is why some of you are here.
Your other son, Travis Hunter.
Yes.
Playing both ways. Can he keep that high amazing?
Can he? I try to tell you, but you ain't want to believe me because I'm just a lofty old young coach. I don't know nothing about football. You know, I just played in the NFL for 14, played at a high level in college for 4, you know, and been coaching youth all the way up for a long time. How do you think we got Dylan Edwards? I coached him when he was 4 to 7 years old. That's why we got Dylan Edwards. So Travis is him, like the young folks say. Travis is it. I really think, you know, I always promote all my kids. I really think we got a couple guys that should be front runners for the Heisman right now. That's how I feel. And I want to promote my kids at all costs. But we got a couple of them that, who did that? Who did what they did today?
Adam, go ahead.
Coach, you mentioned Dylan Edwards.
Yes.
Well,
Dylan Edwards is phenomenal. I've been saying that since he was 4 years old. And we see that in practice all the time. Don't let the size fool you. Dylan looks in the mirror like Shallow Hal. He thinks when he looks in the mirror, he sees a 215-pound man that's probably about 6'4". That's the way Dylan addresses life. And I think he had a little injury of his ankle early on, and he thought it popped. I'm like, no, God wouldn't have brought you this far for that. Not right now. Watch what the impact you're going to have in this game. And he had tremendous impact. Dylan is a dog, man. But you're going to consistently see what he does on a weekly basis, because this is how he practiced. This is how Travis practiced. This is how Shador practiced. This is how those receivers I've been talking about that you didn't believe, this is how they really go to work. The defensive front, I mean, this is how they went to work as well. We got to clean up some things, but those guys, I think they played a pretty good game.
What do you say to people that question the transfer portal, get rid of all the kids? Can you do it? You know,
turn on the film. I tell them to turn on the film. We're gonna continuously be questioned because we do things that have never been done. That's the way our life has presented themselves. We do things that have never been done, and that makes people uncomfortable. When you see a confident black man sitting up here talking his talk, walking his walk, coaching 75% African Americans in the locker room, that's kind of threatening. Oh, they don't like that. But guess what? We're gonna consistently do what we do. Because I'm here and ain't going nowhere. And I'm about to get comfortable in a minute. Because guess what? These young men in there right now, they believe. Not all of them believed before. But right now, they came up one by one, twos by twos. Coach, we believe. Now they believe. Now Boulder believes. People in the front office, people in the building, the fans, the students. Now everybody want to believe. I'm good with that. We got room. Because I was just thankful. You got to understand, I'm human. You know, I deflect a lot of things, but I'm human. So I feel some things, and I'm a natural giver. I'm a natural giver. I give. And every once in a while, you know, I have one of those empty moments that I got to reflect on. And these coaches are so good. Rick, George, for giving me an opportunity, and just what we accomplished out there today. Ain't none of y'all believe that. Maybe a couple of y'all that knew me and know how I get down. They know I'm a winner. We're going to end up winning. Ain't none of y'all thought you was going to be sitting up here. And you was supposed to be on the other side, you know, interviewing that or coming asking me, well, what happened? You said this and you said that. Yeah. Now what? Now what? Everybody quiet now. Now what? Come here, dog. Yeah. It's one of our guys that does the podcast. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, dog. I'm straight up. I appreciate you, dog. Keep on doing what you do. Thank you. That's one of our supporters when none of y'all was supporting us. He had our back. You believed, didn't you?
I did.
All right. What's up, boss? You believe now? Hold on. Oh, no. Do you believe now? Huh? Oh, no. I read through that bull junk you wrote. I read through that. I sifted through all that. Yeah. Oh, no. Come on. Do you believe? You don't believe. You just answered it. You don't believe. Next question. You don't believe.
Romy over here.
You don't believe.
Romy, go ahead.
What's up, girl? Yeah, they want all of it.
Now, I'm the type that's very passionate about protecting my loved ones. With the launch of...
We really hadn't met yet. We really hadn't met yet collectively to kind of engulf everything. We may do that on the plane because everybody's going to be there. But because I wanted them to enjoy the moment, go see their parents, the friends, the loved ones who truly supported them and came all the way here. So I didn't want to just call a meeting real impromptu because I was in a lot of pain. I had to go get myself taken care of. But I am so proud of these young men, the training staff, the equipment staff, the strength and conditioning, all the staff that we brought on that beautiful plane. I'm so proud of everybody because it was a collective effort. It truly was.
Yeah, you talked about collective. Mm-hmm. You talked about how proud you are.
Yes. Yes. No. You got to go back before that. You got to go back playing against my boy Zimmy, my dog Zimmy, in Fort Worth youth ball. You know, with 5 and 6 year olds, 7 and 8 year olds, 9 and 10 year olds, 11 and 12. I've been doing this for a long time. So I reflected back when we landed here on all these battles we had in the hood, playing youth football, playing youth baseball, basketball. We've done a lot of. We played a lot of games in Fort Worth, man. So that was on my mind, just the consistency of that and how that affected me and established me and helped me get to this point in life.
How do you appreciate all that building?
I love it.
Tyler,
immensely. That's all we were preaching, man. We were just preaching one stop, just one stop. Just one darn stop. That's all we was preaching. I always had confidence. I knew long as we had the ball, I knew Shador was going to get us down the field. But we just needed to stop. And they kept running this darn crossing routes, and we was picking, and we were going to communicate. And the guy comes free when he gets across the hash. And that just got on our last nerve because the coaches did a great job of calling the right defenses. We just didn't execute. But we're going to fix that.
Last one, Jake, the NBR.
My man.
They talked about your offensive line.
Yeah. I think they, it's 510 yards worth of good today. And then we missed some big ones. We missed Travis a couple times earlier that Shador has to hit. But the offensive line, I'm proud of him, man. I had a tremendous moment with Big Tank in the locker room moments ago, and I'm really proud of him. Both of those big fellas on the end, both of them are 6'9", but they say we were too small. Not good, but I'm thankful. And God gave me what I needed to finish. I'm thankful that I finished. That's all we want to do is start and finish. I'm not vindictive like that. I just like them to know that I know that you really ain't with me. You really ain't with us. You really don't believe. You really don't want to see me win. You don't want to see me in victory or at peace and have joy. I know you don't want to see that, but I love you. It ain't nothing different. Why would I expect something different? It was like that when I played, right? So I'm playing another game. I'm just out, off the field. I'm not on the field now, but I can affect what's on the field. And I'm thankful for that. I really am. How you doing, man? God bless you. God bless you, man. You're a pioneer, you know that, right? Right, you're a legend. And I appreciate you, boss. Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
We're good? Thank you, appreciate you, man.